more fun than a big block of Colby or Cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens on Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Congress averted a government shutdown by passing a last-minute funding bill. President Biden signed the 45-day continuing resolution that includes disaster relief money, but no new aid for Ukraine, which the Senate says will be addressed separately. Meanwhile, today, federal student loan payments are set to resume. They've been on hold for several years, says ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
Borrowers like 33-year-old social worker Michael Lopez in Anaheim, California, racing to make payments on their loans for the first time in more than 3 years.
I really want stability for us.
Lopez, a first-generation college graduate, owes more than $800 per month on his student loans.
We're really going to have to change a lot of our spending habits.
The government's unprecedented payment freeze was put in place as a financial cushion during the pandemic.
A new gun law takes effect in Connecticut today, one of the nation's strictest, banning the open carry of firearms. This is ABC News. Evacuations were lifted in central Illinois after a chemical spill on a highway that followed a deadly wreck Friday that killed 5 people. Ammonia from a tanker truck in the wreck had leaked, triggering those evacuations. More than 6 months after entering hospice care, former President Jimmy Carter turns 99 today.
Jimmy Carter's grandson, Jason, says the now 99-year-old former president loves his family first, but devoted his life to public service.
There's this legacy that comes from the presidency. There's this legacy that comes from the governor's office. That's a legacy of human rights and civil rights and environmental protection and peacemaking.
Former President Jimmy Carter surviving to see his grandchildren at home this birthday, nearly a year after entering hospice care. Andy Field, ABC News.
Authorities in Turkey are calling a suicide bombing in the capital city of Ankara a terrorist attack. It happened hours before parliament was set to reopen. 2 police officers were slightly hurt. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A former Wisconsin U.S. senator is speaking out against the idea of a constitutional convention. Russ Feingold warns it would push through sweeping new right-wing policies. Suzanne Potter reports.
Right-wing groups such as the Federalist Society say they want to require a balanced budget and limit the power to tax, moves critics say would lead to huge cuts in Medicare, Social Security, education, Medicaid, and environmental protection. Duke University professor Nancy McLean notes that Article 5 of the Constitution requires consent from just 2/3 of states to call for a convention.
The organizers of the convention effort have made clear the votes taken would not be based on population, but on one vote per state, so as to grossly underrepresent the majority of Americans.
That would give outsized influence to states with tiny populations, such as Wyoming, at the expense of huge states like California. Over the years, many states have called for a constitutional convention on specific topics. Conservative groups argue that the requests could be aggregated to reach the 34-state threshold and force a convention. Former Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold, now with the American Constitution Society, just wrote a book that warns that a convention is likely if Republicans win full control of Congress next year.
They're asserting that you can mix and match these, and that meets the constitutional requirements. It's not right, and the Supreme Court doesn't appear to have the authority to step in and stop it.
Jonathan Mehta Stein with Common Cause California says the risk of a runaway convention is too great because there are very few rules in place. I'm Suzanne Potter. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
Hello, you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today, we are going to be talking with Rebecca Jarathanis, I'm hoping I say that right, from Summit Credit Union about women in finances. But I want to let you know later in the show, we also have Governor Martin Schreiber on about his journey supporting his wife with Alzheimer's, pre-recorded interview that I did earlier this week. Extremely lovely man. But right now, I cannot wait to speak with my first guest, Summit Credit Union COO, Rebecca Jarathanis. Did I say that right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Great job.
Yes. And there are two reasons why I reached out to Summit Credit Union. First, I was driving in my car and I heard a commercial that specifically addressed caregivers and finances. And of course, being the empowered caregiver, that's going to catch my attention. So I had to reach out. And the second was just the fact that Summit Credit Union acknowledges the pay gap and income disparities in women and are working hard to help women reach their financial goals. To me, that was just a big thing. The whole banking industry just seems like a man's world going back to the good old days. So to see that you're openly acknowledging this, addressing this, and putting this out there and striving to help women, just hats off to you. So wanted to reach out and have you share some more. According to the Survival Coalition of Wisconsin, two-thirds of caregivers have decreased their work hours or quit work altogether due to their caregiving duties. In the United States, about 48 million individuals provide unpaid care to adult family member or friend. Nearly 8 in 10 caregivers report having routine out-of-pocket expenses related to looking after their loved ones. The typical annual cost is over $7,000. On average, family caregivers are spending about 26% of their income on caregiving activities, according to results of a national study of nearly 2,400 caregivers that took place in spring of 2021. So with that being said, thank you so much, Becky, for joining tonight. Before we dig into the financial talk, I'd like to ask everyone on the show if they've been a caregiver in the past, foresee becoming one in the future, or have had other friends or family in that caregiving role?
Okay, well, thanks so much for having me, Liza, on this show and talk about this really important topic. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this on behalf of Summit and the things that we're doing to help all of our members build financial security. So, in terms of my experience as a caregiver, I personally don't have experience in the caregiver role in the way that you're talking about it in this community. I have four children, and but you know, other than being their mom, it not in the same way. However, my sister is currently in this situation right now, and has let me know that it's okay if I share a bit about her story, and I can share a bit about some of the financial implications or things or considerations. So my sister had her first baby in December, and he was born with some significant congenital heart defects. And they spent the first 5 months after he was born in the NICU, they were home for a couple of months. And since then, since early April, he had unsuccessful open heart surgery at American Family Children's Hospital. And at the end of April was transferred to Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, where he's waiting for a heart transplant. And my sister has been obviously living at the hospital for the last 6 months. And, you know, as you can imagine, completely consumed by his care, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. She's the constant in the stream of caregivers and, you know, the wonderful people that are taking care of him at Lurie, but, you know, she is the one constant there. And as one of her primary support people, in addition to my other sister, our parents, and her partner, I've certainly had a firsthand seat to the, you know, enormity of the, yeah, of the challenge, and the, it's absolutely all consuming. You know, when people ask me how she is and how she's doing, you know, the honest answer is it's really terrible. I mean, you know, there's sure, no way around that. At the same time, you know, we're all learning lessons about this. And I think one of the things that I've certainly taken away from her in this time is, you know, she is very intentionally choosing to have as much agency as she can about the environment that she creates for him, that being his advocate, the good that she puts out into the world, and intentionally knowing that when she does that, you know, that the good will come back to him. And at the same time, not being unrealistic about how difficult it is and how at some points dire it has been. And so, you know, living in the world as it is, not as you hope it to be, at the same time, still choosing to, you know, to bring what she can bring to the situation and to his environment. And so, don't want to spend the whole time talking about that, of course, although certainly I could.
But to
go to the financial implications of it, you know, knowing that, you know, she would be at the hospital for, you know, many months, you know, she was faced with the decision that she would need to leave her job. And of course, that not only has financial implications, but it has emotional implications. It's a career that she's very successfully built. And so one thing that I tried to do for her as somebody that was supporting her was ask questions to be able to discern if there's anything that needs immediate attention right away, right? So when it comes to finances, there are, you know, short-term, medium, long-term things. In the short term, are there things that need attention? Are there things that need to be done? Because, you know, there's only so much bandwidth that any one person has. And so, you know, fortunately, she had automated a lot of her financial life. So there weren't task-related things that needed to consume, you know, her time and energy. And, you know, I asked some questions to help her think about what decisions she might need to make in the near term to just kind of piece out step by step what might be coming up. What things does she have to think about? Not the whole thing, but what does she need to think about, you know, right now or next week or in the next couple of weeks? Because, you know, in this type of situation, you know, all of your energy and emotional and mental bandwidth is going toward, you know, one thing, especially when it's, you know, this, you know, acute. Okay. And so as somebody that was supporting her, I was asking questions to get her to think about it enough so that we could kind of set a pocket aside or determine what it is we needed to do or think about. Now, fortunately, they have had, you know, they have amazing insurance. It is not the case for everybody. Right. So, you know, there are certainly many people dealing with financial implications that are, you know, much different than hers. But I would say that, you know, my advice to her and what I tried to help her do was not ignore it, because you don't want ignoring it to end up creating more problems for her and her son and her family down the road. Right. So don't ignore it. Let's make sure that there aren't any things that are going to be happening that are going to create unintended consequences. And then let's think about it piece by piece, because can't solve it all today, but we can take a couple of steps. Right. So
exactly. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing her heart-wrenching story, and my thoughts and prayers go out to her. I can't even imagine how hard that would be. I got chills just over and over as you were telling the story. And that's great that she has someone by her side looking out for finances, because wow, do a lot of people need that. And the last thing I want to throw out there, just because it sounds like she's new to this caregiving role, something I ask people time and time again, advice to give caregivers, and it is always reach out for help. Do not try to do this on your own.
Absolutely.
You need to make time for yourself. So completely off topic, but I just wanted to throw that out there, because it's really hard, especially I can't even imagine in your sister's circumstance, you know, being away in the hospital, being able to, or even wanting to go and take time for yourself. But so crucial. Right. So thank you for sharing that story. So when we talk about money, you know, in money disparity, there's no secret that man's income is typically more than that of a woman, but there's other factors that impact earning and saving potential for women as well. Can you give us a little 101 regarding women and money, and what does equity in money mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So for us at Summit Credit Union, equity and money is about helping all of our members build financial security, especially for women. Women face unique challenges in their journey to financial security and are 43% more likely to retire in poverty. And so we want to help women build wealth and financial security to help them and their families avoid poverty in retirement. There are a lot of reasons for that. The wage gap is one of them. There are many factors that impact the wage gap. And certainly one of them is women are more likely to come in and out of their careers to provide caregiving for family members. And so that certainly impacts their earnings over time. Women are more likely to not negotiate their starting salary. That impacts things. There's fewer women in leadership and higher paying roles and positions. There's fewer women in some of the higher paying fields. So women aren't represented in some of the roles that earn higher wages and income. And, you know, certainly we know that women oftentimes, as you said early when you started this segment, you know, oftentimes feel left out in the financial services industry and that it's not for them. And so we very intentionally have been working to change that over the last 15 years.
I wish we had so much more time to talk about this, but when we get back, we're going to talk about the Red Shoes Project and how Summit is helping women with their finances.
Sounds good. Now will later be last, 'cause the times they are
a-changing. People won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some,
that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and today I am speaking with Becky Jarathonis. Did I get it right that time?
You sure did.
Oh, I can't believe it. If you had any idea how much I struggled with last night, you could laugh along with this, but Rebecca is the COO of Summit Credit Union, and we are talking about wealth inequality in women and specifically how that applies to family caregivers. And what I want to talk about now is your Red Shoes program. So I'm just going to give the mic over to you so you can explain that to listeners and how it helps women with their finances.
Okay, sure. So, you know, as we talked about before, you know, women earn less and tend to save less over the course of their lifetimes. And that certainly contributes to women being more likely to retire in poverty, 43% more likely. And so, you know, everything that we do at Summit is really focused on the purpose of helping women build wealth and so that women and their families can have financial security in the long term. There's lots of factors that play into that we talked about before. So some of the things that we do to help with those factors and help women build wealth is certainly providing the tools and resources to help increase women's confidence about money. So the Red Shoes program is one of those things. We also have many financial education and wellness programs, a whole host of resources on our website. I think 45,000 people or so interfaced with some of our financial education programming last year. And so we have a lot of resources on summitcreditunion.com for people to take advantage of. The Red Shoes program specifically is a self-directed financial wellness program. And so it comes with practical advice on ways to reduce expenses, increase savings, and balance the responsibilities that come along with day-to-day life, especially, you know, which is especially important for people that are in caregiving roles. And so there's, you know, tips and tools and strategies on how to save money, what to be aware of in your own finances so that you can, you know, think about your budget very mindfully. It's really the concept of putting, you know, yourself first in the sense that there's some things you need to take care of so that you have the energy and capacity to take care of others in your life, which we know is extremely important to women. When most women are making financial decisions, they're really thinking about how it affects everybody in their life and all of the things that all the people that they care about and the people that count on them. So we have members that are part of our Red Shoes program. That's, you know, something that they can take advantage of. If, you know, there's other resources too, like I mentioned, in addition to all of the resources on our website, we meet with people and talk about this every day. So wherever people are in their journey, you know, we can help you organize where you're at, talk about your future goals, if you're in a spot where, you know, it's really that you just need to get a handle on where you're at so that you can focus on other things, we can help you do that. So, you know, we are here as a credit union to serve our members, and, you know, it's their financial success, and that fuels us every day. And so that's why we're here. And that's why we're focused on helping all of our members, especially women, build financial security.
So two quick questions for you. I know that there are Summit Credit Unions all over Dane County. You can find them easily if you go on your website and you're branching out. Where quickly are you located outside of Dane County?
Sure. Yeah. So we have 57 locations throughout Wisconsin. So we have obviously locations in Dane County. We have locations in Jefferson, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington County, down in Kenosha, Mount Pleasant. We have location in Weston and Plover. We just opened actually two locations in Green Bay, Sheboygan. So, you know, we're pretty good coverage throughout the state. And certainly we can also talk with members over the phone, you know, video appointments when necessary. So there's lots of different ways that members or non-members can reach us and ask and talk about the services that we offer.
Wonderful. Thank you for clarifying that. And then in regards specifically to the Red Shoes Project, do you have to be a member to be part of that?
You do have to be a member at Summit. But, you know, the way we like to think about it is being a member at Summit not only gets you access to the Red Shoes program, but also all of the other awesome things that we do as a credit union in ways that we can help you build wealth, save for the future. So yes, you do have to be a member, but you know, it's easy to join, and you know, you can join in person at a branch or certainly online on our website too.
No problem. And you know that I have taken some of those online courses, and very
good,
easy, relaxed, casual. I didn't feel nervous or anything being part of it. So highly recommend those.
Right.
But you know, I think some of our statistics differ, and you may be kind and conservative. I had found somewhere that upwards of women, when it comes to women, 80% are likely to be impoverished at the time of retirement, and only 45% of all caregivers indicate that they have plans in place for their own future care, which is really scary considering how expensive long-term care could be as far as assisted living, nursing homes, all of those types of things. And to know that less than half really have, you know, prepared or thought about that is concerning. And I think one of the problems is, and I can tell you, it's been a problem for me in the past. You get embarrassed. You get ashamed.
Absolutely.
Of where you're currently at. So how do you speak to those people that want to get a hold of it, but aren't working with much?
Well, so I think the most important thing to remember is that, you know, we talk to people every day, all of the time, and there is not a situation that we haven't talked to and seen. And so, you know, we do everything we can to break down that barrier, because it shouldn't be intimidating. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. That's why we're here. We're here to help. We have seen all sorts of situations, all sorts of challenges, and we're here to help you through them. And so I know that that's easier said than done, but that's why we're here. That's our purpose. We do everything we can to make working with us easy, enjoyable, and we understand what's important to you and your life.
Yes. So. And I like that. You're there to help. You're not there to judge. And it has been wonderful talking with you. I know that there's so many more questions I want to ask, and I will have to invite you.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Congress averted a government shutdown by passing a last-minute funding bill. President Biden signed the 45-day continuing resolution that includes disaster relief money, but no new aid for Ukraine, which the Senate says will be addressed separately. Meanwhile, today, federal student loan payments are set to resume. They've been on hold for several years, says ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
Borrowers like 33-year-old social worker Michael Lopez in Anaheim, California, racing to make payments on their loans for the first time in more than 3 years.
I really want stability for us.
Lopez, a first-generation college graduate, owes more than $800 per month on his student loans.
We're really going to have to change a lot of our spending habits.
The government's unprecedented payment freeze was put in place as a financial cushion during the pandemic.
A new gun law takes effect in Connecticut today, one of the nation's strictest, banning the open carry of firearms. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
It's Wednesdays, that means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line and in full effect.
I think that the caller is right to be very suspicious, so we need to kind of hold both thoughts at once. Let's see if there's something there about Robin Voss being afraid and backing down, but let's be prepared for the idea this is all a ruse.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knodel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Helen Brand. And my next guest is someone that I've wanted to have on my show for quite some time. I don't know how you have a show in Wisconsin about caregivers and not have one of the most well-known caregiver advocates out there. So without further ado, I would like to introduce former Governor Martin Schreiber. Mr. Schreiber is the author of My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver, detailing his experience in caregiving for his wife who battled Alzheimer's disease. Schreiber helped to found the Elaine and Friends Caregiver Help Center and is a frequent speaker on issues relating to Alzheimer's. His book was recognized by caregiving.com as one of the best caregiving books in 2018, and it made the 11th best Alzheimer's book of all time, according to Book Authority. Schreiber has helped Operation Stronger Together, an awareness program. He also collaborated with Wisconsin state government and business groups to help create dementia-friendly employer toolkit. So thank you so much, Governor Schreiber, for being with me today. It is an honor to be able to speak with you.
Liza, it's my privilege and my honor. So thank you so very much. Thank you.
Yes, and I wanted to have you on this week because there is a walk to end Alzheimer's coming here in Madison this Sunday, and it's supposed to be a beautiful, sunny, and 80 degrees weather out. So hopefully everyone can get out to the walk outside. Marty, can you tell us a little bit more about the walk to end Alzheimer's, and if you know where people can go to join?
I wish I could tell you all of that, but I am not familiar with the specifics of the individual walks. I know that there are any number of them throughout the state of Wisconsin, and they pick different weekends for different areas of the state. But I do want you to know that I did plan for the weather to be sunny and 80 degrees back in 1978 when I was governor.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I did see that there are walks all over the state. Excuse me. So this show is played out throughout the state. So if you can't make the Madison walk, there is definitely a walk in the area. And I don't think it's too late to join. In fact, I didn't think I had it in me to put together a team within less than a week, but I went on the website today just to volunteer. So hopefully everything will work out and I will be there on Sunday doing some picture taking. So be sure to look for the walk information here in Madison or in your local community so you can be part of that or donate. There's lots of different fundraising options out there. So Marty, I just wanted to ask you, I'm sorry for the loss of your wife, and I know your devotion to this cause is dear to you, and she must have been an amazing woman, and I can tell because you've given everything this to support Alzheimer's and to support her and to make her such a champion of the cause. Besides your love and honor for your wife, why has this become such an important issue to you?
It's become such an important issue because, as we know, there is no cure and it cannot be prevented, Alzheimer's. And because of that, it is probably one of the world's most challenging caregiving experiences that any human being could hope to have, because there's no hope of things getting better. And I went through this experience myself as a caregiver, and I made so many terrible mistakes. And we could have lived a better life if I would have thought sooner. The fact of the matter is, if Alzheimer's is bad, ignorance of the disease is worse. And when I say ignorance of the disease, I mean by the medical profession, many times by caregivers, by churches, by synagogues, by parishes, ignorance of the disease by, well, neighbors, friends, relatives. And because of that, I call this not a chicken casserole disease. So if I fall and break a leg, and you'll bring me chicken casserole. If I have open heart surgery and I'm home, you'll bring me chicken casserole. But because people are ignorant of Alzheimer's, if my wife has Alzheimer's, friends of many, many years, because they're ignorant of the disease, they don't know how to act and they don't know what to do. And so now not only am I as a caregiver concerned about my loved one losing their memory, but I'm also in the process of feeling deserted and abandoned on top of everything else. Well, then we get to the point, because we cannot beat this disease at this moment in time, we should set another course. And that course that we can and should set is a realizable course. And it gives us an opportunity for just knowing that we can make a difference. And the course we have to set is to have the goal of helping our loved one and ourselves live our best lives possible. And so the question, how do we help our loved one live their best life possible? Most important point is joining their world. And I want you to know that As long as I argued with Elaine, it didn't happen on a Thursday. It was on a Friday. It wasn't the Smiths. It was the Joneses. Why did you put the turkeys in the dishwasher? I'm telling you once again, this is the fifth time you've asked it. So the point of the matter is Elaine never knew that she was asking the same question over again. She never knew she put the car keys in the dishwasher. And so here she is under the realization that she's losing her memory, but at the same time being yelled at. And so finally I learned to join her world. And so then once I remember when she asked me, how are my parents? I said, well, they're both dead. Well, the shock on her face when she realized she didn't say goodbye, much less attend the funeral, I promised myself, I'm never going to let that happen to her again. And so next time she asked me, oh, I said, Elaine, your parents are great. I said, your mom likes going, to her church functions. Your dad likes his sports. Oh, she said, that makes me so happy. Well, that's what I call therapeutic fibbing. Therapeutic fibbing. But there is two things I want you to know about therapeutic fibbing. One is I tried it the first year of marriage.
That was going to be my question, my next question for you, but you beat me to it. What's the second?
The second thing is not everyone believes me about this, but I was, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, I was there. And although that the Ten Commandments were written in Arabic Hebrew, on the back of the stones was written in English, Wisconsinite English, saying therapeutic fibbing is okay, and in fact, I'm sometimes promoted. And so people should feel very comfortable about the fact that our goal is to help our loved one live their best life possible. And how do we do it? We do it by joining their world.
I love that, joining their world. And I have a 19-year-old son with autism, and that's what kind of brought me into this caregiver world. And it holds true for him as well. Sometimes when he was younger and struggling, and I was getting frustrated trying to figure out what his needs were or how I could teach him something, I just had to put down all the books and manuals and tools and join his world. And that's what it took. And then I got that understanding of what it would be like to be in his shoes, and we could work on finding solutions together. So I love that bit of advice. And, I want to take one step back when you were talking about the ignorance. Now, of course, we don't in a short radio interview have time to go through all the ins and outs of Alzheimer's. But what are some of the takeaways that you think would help the common folk just kind of get past some of that ignorance?
Well, to understand, first of all, that this Alzheimer's is taking away the memory of the person, and the person is going to be different. And because the person is different, we've got to be able to be responsive to that difference. For example, Elaine and I were having lunch when she was in assisted living memory care, and she started to cry. And I said, Elaine, why are you crying? Well, she said, I'm beginning to love you more than my husband. Well, I didn't ask her what's wrong with your turkey husband. I didn't do that. But here's what that meant. And here is what I point out to caregivers and to their families. It is not necessary for your loved one to know your name in order for your hearts to touch. In ignorance with Alzheimer's says you can still have your hearts touch with the person who is ill by holding hands, by giving a hug, by singing a song, by just being there together and smiling. And so I see this, and then I see people arguing, you can't have another blanket. You just had, you can't do this. You can't. And so, no, it's understanding. And also even thinking about how we can redirect. It's 9:30 in the morning. Elaine wants a glass of wine. Well, you can have a glass. No, that's not the answer. Do you want red wine or white wine? Do you want it in a taller glass? So by redirection, we can get off of the confrontation, and maybe redirection doesn't work. So then the question is, well, does it matter if someone has a glass of wine at 9:30 in the morning, if they don't maybe know it's morning, noon, or night anyway?
Exactly. I say it doesn't matter. I say, it doesn't matter, and go for it. You know, one of the reasons I have such respect for you, Marty, is not only for your work around Alzheimer's and Alzheimer's awareness, but the attention that you give to the caregiver, who can be a forgotten hero in this Alzheimer's story. Can you tell me a little bit about the role of the caregiver when it comes to caring for someone with dementia and Alzheimer's?
Well, one of the most important things I would want to tell caregivers is to please understand that to ask for help is a matter of courage. To ask for help means you're not giving up. If a caregiver would be surrounded by an enemy with that dire anticipation, you either sit there and you take it or you go for help. And that's to understand that you're not giving up. And that's what it takes is the courage to not do it alone and to ask for help. So that's really, so point number one, so important. And then for caregivers to understand that we're going through a grieving process. A friend would die, and there's a sudden heart attack, and there's closure. But a caregiver never gets closure. And so we as caregivers have to just face very directly and courageously what are our experiences, and then face up to them so we can deal with them. And being a caregiver, to see your loved one lose a little bit of their memory every day, there is no closure. We're grieving in the process. We have that depression. And also we think we're not doing a good job because the disease is regressive. So please, caregivers, understand that to ask for help is a matter of courage, that to understand that it's one of the toughest jobs in the world, and that not to be afraid of sharing our emotions with others, because we've got to get it out. And that's going to help ourselves live our best lives possible.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, when it comes to Alzheimer's, there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of heaviness, there's a lot of work for the caregiver. So I have one final question that I want to ask you before we depart today. What did you find as the most gratifying part of being a caregiver, or what leads you to keep doing this work? Where's the joy? What's the joy in it for you?
Well, I think it's being able to help someone who helped you. In other words, my wife was just terrific in everything that we did in life together, always support. And I was able then at a time to return that kind of love, but also the self-satisfaction of knowing that I am able to make a difference in someone's life. They're going through this area of doubt and worry and concern. And if I know about this disease, I can give my wife that additional comfort. But then also what became so important was when my friends began to acknowledge what I was going through. Finally, I knew they would understand what my feelings are. And that acknowledgement made all the difference in the world and helping give me the energy to move forward.
Governor Schreiber, you have done such amazing work around this issue, and I want to thank you for your time today and sharing your wonderful words of wisdom. I'm sure that you are helping many more through this interview, and keep up the good work. I see your calendar is full, so I will let you get back to your busy day.
Liza, I admire and respect all that you do, so thank you very, very much for what you do. Yeah.
Thank you. You have been listening to my interview with Martin Schreiber, former governor of Wisconsin, and strong, strong Alzheimer's advocate. And his schedule is on his website, and the man is all over the state, just fighting the good fight at 80-some years old. So I really appreciate his time and his work. I'll be back after this short break.
real good. I knew that I wouldn't.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And when that music came on blaring through my headphones, I'm not sure if I feel good was the first thought that came to mind, but I feel awake. That woke me up. So love it. I am feeling good. I actually am feeling good because I had the opportunity to listen to the interview that I just did earlier this week, which was pre-recorded with former Governor Martin Schreiber. And what an amazing man. I was just a little toddler when he was the governor, so can't say that I know him politically speaking, but so kind, so wonderful. And after the interview, he just took a lot of time to really ask me about me and my son, and what a great human being. So I was so glad that he was able to join. If you would like to join the conversation and talk about women in finances and the wealth gap that we were talking about earlier with Rebecca from Summit Credit Union, you can give me a call at 1-844-967-2789. I would love to hear and learn from you. And be sure to listen to the Empowered Caregiver wherever you go with the free Civic Media app. Search for your local station and use the call or text button to interact with me or any of the other hosts. You can download the app for free at either Google or Play Store. So last week I had Lindsay Penchuk on, who helped self-employed women get their businesses off the ground. And one thing that I learned from her is that you have to share your story, which is funny that I learned from her you have to share your story when I'm telling on air over and over. You guys have to share your caregiving story. You have to share your story. Well, comes true to marketing and self-promotion as well. You have to tell your story. So last week I did that on Facebook, and I thought since we just had a few minutes here at the end of the evening that I will go ahead and share my story once more. And so let me just start off by asking you this. If you were a marathon runner, would you identify as a marathon runner? Would you realize that being a marathon runner puts additional stress on your body? And if you were a marathon runner, would you give yourself time to rest and restore? Well, my guess is the answer to those questions would be yes, yes, and yes. But being a caregiver is like being a marathon runner in some regards. You know, there are many studies out there that show that caregiving impacts your physical, financial, and emotional well-being. And not having proper time to rest and restore can lead to burnout and, worse yet, personal illness. I've read of many cases where the caregiver had gotten ill and no longer can care for the person that they were caring for because of the stress and not taking care of themselves. So, yet, many people don't see themselves as a caregiver. They see themselves as a mother, a father, a daughter, a son, a brother, sister, you name it. Just somebody that simply taking care of a loved one because that's what we do. And that is what we do. And I myself never used the term caregiver in caring for my 19-year-old son with autism. Trust me, I saw myself as many things taking care of my son. I was a personal assistant, an autism expert. I became an IEP master, a social skills facilitator, a tutor, a cook to the world's pickiest eater, and of course, a chauffeur. And wow, caring for someone with extra needs really involves a lot of driving. But I never use the word caregiver. So I have a mission. I have a mission to bring awareness to the caregiver role. I want caregivers to know that they're caregivers and there are things that they can do to protect their financial, physical, and mental health. I want caregivers to know that they're not alone, not by any means. 1 in 5 Americans are identified as caregivers. You know, I want caregivers to know what is going on in the local, state, and federal level so that they can advocate for the change that they need and want to see and have access to supports. And I want to celebrate being a caregiver. I mean, holding space and supporting a person with their daily and long-term needs can be one of the most rewarding human experiences out there. You know, like Martin Schreiber said, I had a wonderful wife. She took care of me for many years, and it was my turn to take care and be there for her. So my goal is to support, advocate, educate, and of course, celebrate family caregivers. And I'm asking that you join me on my mission. And you can do that by letting people know about the show. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. You can ask me to present at a business. I am part of the Wisconsin Family Association Caregivers Alliance and part of a sub-work group helping employers create employee-friendly places for caregivers to work. The world of employment is a huge place that needs some caregiver awareness as more and more people are becoming caregivers. And there's actual manuals and books and lots of information that I've learned and went through that I can help businesses with that. So if you own a small business or if you work for a business and you would like somebody in your HR department or management to learn more about how they can create caregiver-friendly workplaces, give me a shout out. You can find me at Liza@civicmedia.us, or you can find me on my socials. So that is my mission. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, to bring awareness to caregiver and the caregiver crisis that is going out there that's not getting better anytime soon. So next week, I will be celebrating National Disability Employment Awareness Month. The following week, I will be talking to Christy Yates, a caregiver, coach, and psychologist, and author of Building a Legacy of Love, Thrive in the Sandwich Generation. In the sandwich generation is a term used when you're caring for your own children as well as for aging parents. And then I have Brandy Grayson from Urban Triage coming on, talking about caregiving in the African-American population, and Harriet Renman, who I can't wait. It's going to talk more about the caregiver and friendly workplaces and the work that we're doing there. So I know that caregiving can be hard and exhausting, but you got this. And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the Empower Caregiver and have a nice night.
I feel good. I knew that I would. So good. So good. But I got you. So good. So good. So good, so good, I got a year.
ABC.